getting the substitute this morning, but I appreciate Carl more on mornings like this. It's been a busy morning, but I look forward to sharing with you a message out of God's Word. I always feel a certain weight of responsibility, and I think it's important that I do. Whenever you're sharing God's Word and His message, I mean, that's weighty stuff. That's stuff that affects people's lives, affects people's where they're going to spend eternity. And I take it seriously, and it's not something that I would desire to do every week, but I don't mind filling in and sharing. I like to teach, but I'd prefer to do that versus preach. But I take it seriously, and I looking forward to sharing with you something I think is really important this morning. This morning's subject is considered in our architecture. The subject is considered in our interior design of our houses. Each room has its own. We consider it when we plant flowers. We consider it when we plant shrubs. When Lloyd plants corn, he's considered it. A photographer considers it when shooting pictures. An artist considers it when painting. I consider it when I'm fishing and hunting. Today's subject affects health. It affects color. It affects shadows. It affects chicken egg production. It affects cows and milk production. It affects weed control. Pam would tell you it affects balance. The way it reacts with a gemstone is a determining factor on the value of a diamond or other gemstones. Of course, I'm talking about light. Now, we understand that we build our houses sometimes to catch light. Interior design is designed to utilize light. Obviously, each room in our world has lights. I'm going to show you a video later in the lesson today that will show you, will help illustrate some points I'm wanting to make, but it will show a contrast of some places where they don't have light. We consider, you know, there's certain plants, certain flowers that need to grow in full sunlight. Some of it, you know, cannot stand full sunlight. It affects all those things. I think that we take for granted light in our daily lives. We don't really think about the fact that we couldn't live without it. You know, food and plant production would not exist. And we're unhealthy without sunlight. You know, I talked about Lloyd and his corn. You know, they have designed and engineered corn plants to harvest more sunlight, the leaves to grow a certain way to harvest more sunlight. But I think we take for granted that. But a far greater tragedy and danger for us is living a life without God's light. His greatest gift is often taken for granted and not fully utilized. And not being fully utilized results in a stunted, sick soul, which is in a very dangerous condition. Again, you know, farmers are very careful about planting crops, about the plant spacement, row spacing. I mean, you want it, you know, they plant it to shade the ground, to keep the weed, to force, not allow weeds to, I mean, they're very precise about it. I mean, Richard's got a corn planter. They'll plant, if he wants it to plant every 4 inches, or if he wants it to plant every 11 inches, it'll do it. Very precise. They're very calculated. You know, we understand that you don't, Garland doesn't plant his potatoes in the basement because they need light, don't they? You understand that when you put flowers in your windowsill, actually, you've noticed that some will grow more than others. It's based on how much light they're getting. We've witnessed the effect of different levels of light on plant growth. Well, you know, I would submit and ask you to examine the principle of the amount of life, light in your life is going to make a difference in your spiritual health. And I'm going to share with you just a few the reason I settled on this subject is when we got our first got our memory verse for this year, the first thing that really struck in my mind says, your laws are wonderful, and so I obey them. The opening of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the childlike. I opened my mouth wide and breathed with desire for your law. Your word gives light. And so I'm going to share with you quickly several, and how ironic, I didn't have anything to do with at the time we partake of communion today, there was a verse there that talked about the light. Now, I will tell you, I can preach the whole next year utilizing scripture that talks about the importance of light in our life and God's word. It's unbelievable, as I prepared for this, how many references to light there is in God's word. You can be thankful, I'm just going to share a few this morning. I'm going to turn with, and you're going to have to turn because I don't have them on the screen. You're going to have to turn with me to Psalm 18 if you have a Bible. Otherwise, you're going to listen to me. Reading out of Psalm 18, verses 27 through 30. David speaking here in verse 18. They confronted me on the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. I'm in the wrong verse. Verse 27. I was clear in verse 18. 27. You save the humble, but to the low whose eyes are haughty, you, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. O my God, turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against the troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. God turns our darkness into light, he says here in this word. David experienced that. If you allow the light in your life, you will experience that. In Psalms again, in chapter 27. In chapter 27, the first verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord feeds, light feeds, light protects, it shows the way. We're going to talk about some examples about that. You recognize that. In Psalm 19 now, Psalm 19, looking at verses 8 through 11. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. The Lord, here it says, commands. Words give light to our eyes. What does light do? It nourishes again, it protects, it provides safety, it promotes good health. We understand that physically, it's the same thing spiritually. It protects us, it feeds us, it nourishes us, it keeps us safe. We need light in our lives. Again in Psalm, the last one we're going to look at in Psalm 119, that's in the chapter our memory verse is in. But actually, prior to that verse that we're the area we're looking at in Scripture, I'm going to look at verse 105. Bring to your attention verse 105. We sing a song sometimes concerning this. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light for my path." You know, we have flashlights in our cars, don't we? Don't you carry one? Teddy, can't remember. Teddy had an accident here a couple weeks ago. Can't remember if you had a flashlight that night or not. I think you did. But most of us carry a flashlight in case of an emergency. We've got one in our cars. We've got one in our houses in case of an electric failure. We put on there, your kids need to bring a flashlight because you're going to have to walk, across campus in the dark. You need a flashlight. I've got one in my hunting bag. If you really ever needed, really, really needed one, and you can't find it, you recognize pretty quickly the value of a simple flashlight. This past spring, when the tornado came, I went to the neighbor's house, to the deer hunter's house, Larry's. We don't have a basement in our house, so I go to their house and tornadoes. And I was there by myself, and down in the basement. And in the basement, there is a bedroom that's off in the corner. It's a good place to go under a tornado. But, I get down there, and I think, what's going to happen if there's a tornado? The lights are going to go off. And I'm thinking, I should have brought a flashlight. Of course, what happened? The lights went off. And, and I don't know that house very well. And I'm digging frantically, looking for, I know these guys are hunters and they've got flashlights. Here I am with the cell phone. I'm calling him. Where is your flashlight down here? Well, they actually had about four or five flashlights down there when it was all said and done. And I finally found one the batteries were up on. I really, really wanted a light because I didn't know how I was going to get out of there. I needed the light. We recognize the value and necessity of a light here, we need to recognize and value the necessity of God's Word in our lives. John 3, a scripture you're very familiar with. Let's look at John 3, 6, beginning with verse 16, and we'll read a little further. The writer here making reference to light as well. Beginning with the verse that you're so familiar with in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the Lord, in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men have loved darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that they may be seen plainly, so that it may be seen plainly that what has been done through God." We come into God's light by being in Christ. Now that's another series of lessons. But being in Christ is essential. We understand when you look at, if you were talked to the justice system and law enforcement, when does most what time of day does most of the activity take place? It's in darkness. It's in darkness. They don't want it seen what's going on. Evil takes place. We want to be in the light. We need to come into God's light, and that happens through Christ. We need to be in Christ. God sent his Son as a sacrifice to save all of us. He didn't send him to condemn us. He sent him to save us. And so there's again a source of light. Now in 1 Peter, the second chapter, in 1 Peter 2, looking at verses 9 and 10, But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Light changes us. Light changes the world around us. We recognize that. But it changes us. God changes us from darkness into light. We were not a chosen people. We go from being a not a chosen people to a royal priesthood. There's a contrast between light and darkness, and that's the when you look at the contrast about being in Christ and not being in Christ, it's reflected in either darkness versus a royal priesthood. It makes a huge difference. Light changes us. Remember, it's light that changes us. In 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, we're going to have to go backwards here. 2 Samuel 22. Verses 28 through 34. You save the humble, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them low. You are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. Who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. The Lord turns my darkness into light. We understand the sources of light in our physical world. You know, I forgot to bring my example up with me. We've got to be plugged into source, don't we? I was going to bring you a light. Imagine I'm holding a light bulb. You know, what's the difference between this light bulb I'm holding and the one up there? It's plugged in. It's connected to a source, isn't it? We've got to be connected to the source of life. And that's God. You know, we understand about the need for batteries. We understand the need for sun. We see LEDs. We see all this. You know, there's been all this new creation of methods of lighting. But it's nothing in comparison to God's power of turning our lives from darkness to light. And the only source that's able to do that, again, is God. Be plugged in. Be connected, you know, is my message. One last scripture, then we're going to show a video, and then I'll bring things to conclusion. In 1 John, there's so many references to light. I thought I might run too long, but I'm going to be all right. We got started a little early, so I've got time for this one. In 1 John, the first chapter, probably maybe the most quoted one, verse about light, in reference to God, beginning in 1 John 1, that which was from the beginning we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it, and we testify to it. And it's referring to Christ. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. And if we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live by the truth. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and sin is not within us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives. We need to walk in the light. You know, walking in the light doesn't mean that you're not going to have stumble and you're not going to sin. But because you're in that light, it's not going to be terminal. It's not going to be so, you're not going to, it's not, because you're in that light, there cannot be life without sin. There's only one man that's ever done that. But if you walk in that light, if you're in Christ, there is forgiveness. There is, God says here that He will forgive you. He will cleanse you. It's again God that changes. He's the source. And that's so important to remember. But you've got to be plugged into the source. Got to be plugged into the source.